Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning and welcome to What Does the Word Say, a ministry of DMC Ministries. We teach you to be genuine in your service and humble in your blessings. We want you to be dynamic, motivated, and Christ-like. We help you make the Word of God real. Be sure to check out our website at www.dmcministries.net to take advantage of the resources we have available. Books, CDs, DVDs, podcasts, and more are there just for you. Links to this and previous shows are one click away, and you can read every edition of our newsletter, The Progressive Walk. Ever wonder what it means to be dynamic, motivated, and Christ-like? Well, that and much, much more are available on our site. Linda Clemens here, while Dwayne and Godfrey are in Kampala, Uganda. I'm excited about what the Lord is going to reveal to us today. If you would like to be part of the conversation this morning, call us at 347-857-1322 or log on to blogtalkradio.com/DMC2 and you can listen or chat with us online. Going back to Dwayne and Godfrey, they will return this Sunday. Thank you for your prayers over their ministry trip. I know they will have much to share on next week's broadcast. Father, we thank you for guiding and directing Dwayne and Godfrey on this mission you have sent them on. I praise you for protecting them to Kampala and protecting their travels back home. May the work you gave them to do in that region continue to be fruitful and multiply even after they are gone. Now, Lord, use my tongue to speak the words you have for this audience listening on Blog Talk Radio. Let these words penetrate deep into the good soil of these listeners and bring about 100-fold. Let them be doers and not hearers only. In Jesus' name, amen. So we're beginning in John chapter 2. I know Dwayne had shared John 1 earlier, and so we're going to start reading in from a book from the Passion Translation, John Eternal Love. It's a Bible in a Passion Translation. It goes, and this is my favorite. Jesus was came to the wedding. So we're going to be talking about Jesus going to the wedding. And I actually sent out a newsletter that was on the Progressive Walk in April of 2015. So if you want to go back in and read my tips, I actually had Linda's tips on the good wine. Really good reading. So now on the third day, there was a wedding feast in the Galilean village of Cana, and the mother of Jesus was there. Doing some research, the third day was a Tuesday counted by the Hebrew week beginning on Sunday. Tuesdays were ideal for Jewish weddings, for that gave the guests time to get there after the Sabbath and remain for the multiple days of the wedding feast. And actually, the third day is a picture of the day of resurrection glory. That's the day Jesus rose from the dead. This miracle is a revelation of going from death to resurrection, from resurrection life, from water to wine. So that's why sorry about that, guys. Trying to get myself together on this thing. We have traditional weddings in the United States, and if it lasts longer than an hour, then we get a little frustrated. But just think about having a wedding feast in another country where it took them days to complete the feast. And you see the people sitting there and having a good time and everything, which is what we're supposed to do, actually. When we've accepted Christ as our Lord and Savior, we shouldn't be out here like the world and worrying and everything. We are redeemed from the world. We should be able to party all the time in the wine, and the wine actually is the Holy Spirit. So once you are saved, you actually have the Holy Spirit all inside of you too. That's the best wine in the whole world, to be able to walk in the Holy Spirit and listen to His voice and do what He said. It's a symbol, actually, when we're married to Christ, when we actually are all together for the wedding feast, we are going to be feasting on Jesus forever. This is an eternal situation, too. Let me read it from my tips, too. It had, on the third day, a wedding took place at Cana in Galilee. Jesus' mother was there, and Jesus and his disciples had also been invited to the wedding. Now, it talks about the mother being there and his family being there also. And they had a question of possibly that this may have been a member of Jesus' family that may have been a wedding from someone in Jesus' family. So that's why Mary was there. Yeah, and a Near Eastern wedding would often last between 3 and 7 days. So if you're into numbers, also 3 would be the Trinity, and then also the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, and then 3 would be us, our spirit, soul, and our body. I think God has so much of a sense of humor as far as numerology and setting everything in order. Now, apparently, they had been having a pretty good time because the wine had gone. I don't think the wine there was the same as what we think of it. I think it was a little milder. Yet at the same time, I don't know how many people were there. If they were there for between 3 and 7 days, then they probably had been drinking a little bit of wine, and so Mary, his mother, was a little concerned about that. And she actually went up to him and said, they're out of wine, what are you going to do about it, more or less? And he kind of rebuked her and said, why are you involving me? My hour has not yet come. So he gave her a little rebuke, and then she said to the servants, do whatever he tells you. Nearby stood 6 stone water jars, the kind used by the Jews for ceremonial washing, each holding from 20 to 30 gallons. Mary was looking out for, make sure everything was going right with the party and everything. And, she went up to her son, and why did she go to Jesus? Why didn't she go tell tell the main attendees about it and tell them to take care of business instead of just going to her son? Because she knew who Jesus was, and she just thought it was his time. But he says, no, it's not my time yet. Yet he did. He took care of business. So Jesus replied, my dear one, don't you understand that if I do this, it won't change anything for you, but it will change everything for me. So he didn't really want to step out because this was the first miracle that he had done. I don't think he really wanted to step out yet because he didn't feel it was his time. He said, my hour of unveiling my power has not yet come. I believe Mary was hoping that Jesus would solve this problem by performing a miracle. She had no doubt about the power and anointing of her son. Running out of wine is a picture of how the joy of this world runs out and fades away. So that's an interesting comment also when you think about it, because is there a difference between happiness and joy? The joy of the Lord is my strength, and it's not a giddy kind of joy where you're happy one time and joyful one time and then something comes up against you in the world and you get sad. You have to be on a constant joy. It's not more of an emotional thing as it is a spiritual thing, because you know who your source is. You just like Mary knew that her son could change the water into wine. We have that knowing also. It may not happen the time that we want it to, but sometimes there's a purpose behind it so that we may be able to grow and to be able to help other people once we've gone through something. So she took the initiative, she went to the servers, and she told them, whatever Jesus tells you, make sure that you do it. Nobody else knew about it, not even the bride and the groom. So she went behind the scenes and she took care of business. So the only people that knew about it were Jesus, Mary, and the servers. Now, my question is, you've got these 6 stone water pots that were, held from 20 to 30 gallons of water. How many people did it take to carry, to fill? That would take a lot of fillings to get that up the way it should be. And also, they were used for the Jewish manner for the ceremonial purification or washings. So, in my mind, I'm seeing the priests washing, cleansing themselves with this water, and Jesus just. To me, it would be so funny. He just turns it into wine, and it's the best tasting wine that they had even tasted. Um, Yeah, each one held about 20 gallons or more. And Jesus came to them and said, fill the pots with water, right up to the very brim. Then he said, now fill your pitchers and take them to the master of ceremonies. And when they poured out their pitcher for the master of ceremonies to sample, the water became wine. When he tasted the water that became wine, the master of ceremonies was impressed, although he didn't know where the wine had come from, but the servers knew. And it's interesting that the servers didn't even mention anything about what had just happened. You know, we read the Bible and it all just seems like it just happens right then and there. But when you think about it, how long would it have taken for them to fill that pitcher, those six pitchers? You know, how many servers were there to be able to continually to fill a pitcher that held 20 gallons or more of water to the very brim? So that took a little bit longer than us just running a tub. It takes a little while to run a tub and fill the tub up, so you get the picture on that. So the master of ceremonies, then he called the bridegroom over and said to him, every host serves his best wine first until everyone has had a cup or two. Then he serves the wine of poor quality. But you, my friend, you've reserved the most exquisite wine until now. So this was the first miracle that Jesus did. He did many other extraordinary miracles. But this was the first one, turning the water into wine. So this revealed his glory, and his disciples believed in him. Did they really? I mean, we were just talking about this in class on Saturday, about how we can receive something from God and it be so, everything's just wonderful, and we just know it's from God and we're flowing in the Spirit, and then as soon as we get out, something happens and we totally just forget about what we had just gone through with the Lord. And just like the Israelites, when Moses led them, when they had gone around and around and around for 40 years in the desert, and Moses went up on the mountaintop, saw the glory of God, and as soon as he went up there, even his brother, they made images. They made God images because they just saw the glory of God, and they knew what God could do. And as soon as his presence went away from them, they started making their own idols. So what idols do we have in our lives that we need to talk to God about and ask forgiveness from and deal with? Take care of those idols. Because idols are not good. Anyway, now, what else? Because I really like the good wine. I just think it was awesome how Mary just showed her complete faith in him. And she even took charge. That's what we do on earth. We have to, we pray, we seek God. He gives us instructions, and what do we do with it? You know, hopefully we're to be Jesus on this earth, and we go ahead and comply, and we do what we're supposed to do. Another thing also, it normally takes years to make a fine wine, but Jesus spoke, and the ceremonial hand-washing water turned into perfect wine. This is where he began to reveal who he was. You getting anything out of it right now? I hope so, because I am. The next area was Jesus at the temple. So after this, Jesus, his mother and brothers, and his disciples went to Capernaum and stayed there for a few days. But the time was close for the Jewish Passover to begin, so Jesus walked to Jerusalem. So I believe the journey was about 80 miles. We think we go a long way in our cars. It takes us maybe 10, 15 minutes to get somewhere in our cars. But think about this. They walked everywhere they went. They either walked or rode donkeys or had some other form. We have cars, and we think we're going far away if we go 15 minutes away. As he went into the temple courtyard, he noticed it was filled with merchants selling oxen, lambs, and doves for exorbitant prices, while others were overcharging as they exchanged currency behind their counters. So Jesus found some rope and made it into a whip. Then he drove out every one of them and their animals from the courtyard of the temple, and he kicked over their tables filled with money, scattering it everywhere. And he shouted at the merchants, "Get these things out of here. Don't you dare make my father's house into a center of merchandise." I think we as a church take it wrong. We don't think that we're supposed to have marketplace ministry. But I think the intent of their heart, this is the intent of their heart. They were and Jesus came to end animal sacrifices and to end the financial tyranny of religion. So he said, don't you dare make my father's house into a center for merchandise. That's when his disciples remembered the scripture, "I am consumed with a fiery passion to keep your house pure." Well, also, our house, you know, we are spirit, soul, and body. Our body is actually what houses our spirit and our soul. So, you know, whatever we do, you know, we need to make sure that it's pure also, and not to give any animal sacrifices. With our body, and we have to make a pure body. We have to make sure that we are all consumed with Jesus and all consumed with sacrificing ourselves. Okay. And keeping our house pure. Then you have the Jewish religious leaders who challenged him. They said, "What authorization do you have to do this sort of thing? If God gave you this kind of authority, what supernatural sign will you show us to prove it?" And then Jesus came up with something that just messed them up. He said, "After you've destroyed this temple, I will raise it up again in 3 days." There's the number 3 again. And the Jewish leader sneered, "This temple took 46 years to build. And you mean to tell us that you will raise it up in 3 days? But they didn't understand that Jesus was speaking of the temple of his body. But the disciples remembered his prophecy after Jesus rose from the dead and believed both the scripture and what Jesus had said. While Jesus was at the Passover feast, the number of his followers began to grow, and many gave their allegiance to him because of all the miraculous signs they had seen him doing. But Jesus did not yet entrust himself to them because he knew how fickle human hearts can be. He didn't need anyone to tell him about human nature, for he fully understood what man was capable of doing. Remember, man looks at the outer parts, but God sees what's inside of us. Jesus' way of thinking was so different than the Pharisees. The Pharisees had to go by the law, but Jesus came that the law might be fulfilled. Let's see what else we've got. The dictionary talks about committing. Jesus did not commit himself unto them because he knew all men. That's John 2:24. The dictionary says to commit is to put in trust or charge, to entrust, to consign for future use. Jesus did not entrust himself or his ministry to these people, although they believed. They had not been endued with power, nor had they been proven, and Jesus was much more concerned with the quality of witness than most of our evangelistic outreaches are today. What does that mean? Going back to the temple, this was Solomon's temple, and it was destroyed by the Babylonians when they captured and plundered Jerusalem in 586 B.C. Cyrus, the king of Persia, fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah by issuing a decree that permitted the Jews to return their homeland and rebuild the temple. This temple, referred to as Zerubbabel's temple, was begun in 535 B.C. and was not as magnificent as Solomon's temple. The temple mentioned here in this verse was called Herod's temple and was erected by Herod the Great. The Jewish historian Josephus wrote extensively about this temple. Its proportions were much larger and more impressive than those of Solomon's temple. Josephus recorded that Herod began work on this temple in the 18th century of his reign, around 19 BC. The work on the entire complex of surrounding buildings and courts was not completed until AD 62-64 by Albinus, just briefly before the Romans, under Titus, burned the temple. The 46 years mentioned by this Jews was in reference to the temple proper, which must have been very impressive. So I like to give you a little bit of history on this. We've got a little bit of time left now. Hope that I helped you out a little bit, and be excited about seeing Dwayne come back again. And I enjoyed getting on this site, and love to hear any comments from you all. And 60 seconds. Y'all be blessed and let the Spirit reign.